typically very appreciative of the company of women. They don't listen to anything they say. Yes, Captain Carrot. Captain Carrot Iron Foundation of the City Watch was standing to attention, radiating keenness and a hint of soap.
I volunteer to go, sir, he said.
Yes, I thought you probably would.
Is this a matter for the watch? Said the lawyer, Mr. Slant. Mr. Cohen is simply returning property to its original owner.
That is an insight which had not hitherto occurred to me, said Lord Vetinari smoothly. However, the City Watch would not be the men I think they are if they couldn't think of a reason to arrest anyone. Commander Vimes?
A conspiracy to make an affray should do it, said the head of the watch, lighting a cigar.
And Captain Carrot is a persuasive young man, said Lord Vetinari.
Oh, with a big sword, grumbled Mr. Slant.
Persuasion comes in many forms, said Lord Vetinari.
No, I agree with Arch-Chancellor Ridcully. Sending Captain Carrot would be an excellent idea.
What? Did I say something? Said Ridcully.
Do you think that sending Captain Carrot would be an excellent idea?
What? Oh, yes, good lad, keen, got a sword.
Then I agree with you, said Lord Vetinari, who knew how to work a committee. We must make haste, gentlemen. The flotilla needs to leave tomorrow. We need a third member of the crew. There was a knock at the door. Vetinari signalled to a college porter to open it. The wizard, known as Rincewind, lurched into the room, white-faced, and stopped in front of the table.
"I do not wish to volunteer for this mission," he said.
"I beg your pardon," said Lord Vetinari.
"I do not wish to volunteer, sir."
"No one was asking you." Rincewind wagged a weary finger.
"Oh, but they will, sir, I will. Someone will say, hey, that Rincewind fellow, he's the adventurous sort. He knows the hoard. Cohen seems to like him. He knows all there is to know about cruel and unusual geography. He'd be just the job for something like this."
He sighed.
"And then I'll run away and probably hide in a crate somewhere that'll be loaded onto the flying machine in any case."
"Will you?"
"Probably, sir. Or there'll be a whole string of accidents that'll end up causing the same thing. Trust me, sir. I know how my life works. So I thought I'd better cut through the whole tedious business and come along and tell you I don't wish to volunteer."
"I think you've left out a logical step somewhere," said the patrician.
"No, sir. It's very simple. I'm volunteering. I just don't wish to. But after all, when did that have anything to do with anything?"
"He's got a point, you know," said Ridcully. "He seems to come back from all sorts of—"
"You see?"
Rincewind gave Lord Vetinari a jaded smile.
"I've been living my life for a long time. I know how it works."
There were always robbers near the hub. There were pickings to be had amongst the lost valleys and forbidden temples, and also amongst the less prepared adventurers. Too many people, when listing all the perils to be found in the search for lost treasure or ancient wisdom, had forgotten to put, at the top of the list, the man who arrived just before you. One such party was patrolling its favourite area when it espied, first, a well-equipped warhorse tethered to a frost-shrivelled tree. Then it saw a fire burning in a small hollow out of the wind, with a small pot bubbling beside it. Finally, it saw the woman. She was attractive, or at least had been conventionally so perhaps 30 years ago. Now she looked like the teacher you wished you'd had in your first year at school, the one with the understanding approach to life's little accidents, such as a shoe full of wee. She had a blanket around her to keep out the cold. She was knitting. Stuck in the snow beside her was the largest sword the robbers had ever seen. Intelligent robbers would have started to count up the incongruities here. These, however, were the other kind, the kind for whom evolution was invented. The woman glanced up, nodded at them, and went on with her knitting.
"Well, now, what have we here?" said the leader. "Are you—"
"Hold this, will you?" said the old woman, standing up. "Over your thumbs, young men. It won't take a moment for me to wind a fresh ball. I was hoping someone would drop by."
She held out a skein of wool. The robber